This is Colt Chinero Chat, the world's best English language Atletico Madrid podcast, and an official partner of IntoTheCalderon.com, SB Nation's Atletico Madrid site. I'm your host, Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Colt Chinero Chat, returning to make his standard weekly appearance, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colt Chinero Chat, where we look back on Atletico's 1-1 draw at Villarreal on Saturday evening. For the fourth year in a row, Atletico have gone to La Ceramica, and for the fourth year in a row, they have left without a win. But at least they got a point this time after losing this fixture each of the past three seasons. Rob and I will discuss Diego Simeone's confusing team selection, how Rodri has become an absolutely essential cog in the Rojiblanco machine. We'll also debate a goal-shy Atletico, just 10 goals in their first 9 games in La Liga, and how concerned we are about that number. Finally, we'll get to Jan Oblak's heroics, and we'll preview Wednesday's Champions League clash, a true partidazo at the Westfalenstadion in Dortmund. All that and more on this edition of Colt Chinero Chat. But before we dive on in, a couple housekeeping notes. Returning listeners may know that you can subscribe and listen to Colt Chinero Chat on your favorite podcasting platform, including Apple Podcasts. Please leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. Really helps us out and gets more eyes and ears on the show. Finally, become a Colt Chinero Chat amigo at patreon.com/ColtChinero Chat. From as little as $3 a month, you can support the show, and in exchange, you'll get access to the bonus podcasts, including my solo analyses after most Atletico contests and rumor roundups with Rob Walker. Patreon.com/ColtChinero Chat. All right, Rob's up next. Stick with us. It's allergy season. It's getting to be allergy season, so my once dulcet tones will be kind of nasally for this episode.
That will happen.
Yeah. But it's been a couple weeks since I've had you on, since I've had anyone on, actually.
Yes, it has been a very dismal footballless break. I really didn't enjoy this one.
But, you know, Arsenal won today, again. Seems like they're doing a lot of that.
Yeah, they certainly are. You know, it's a thing.
You don't sound very optimistic.
I like to see them do well, yeah, but, you know, it's not super exciting because they're not good enough to really win anything. So, you know, it is what it is. I enjoy seeing Mesut Ozil do well. But I actually enjoyed watching Santi Cazorla play against Atleti this weekend even more.
Yes, good old Santi.
A particular favorite of mine, in one of my all-time favorites, for sure.
Just good to see him back in, like, any capacity on a football pitch, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, it would have been good to see him back playing with, like, Real Oviedo in
the
second division.
Or but, even Malaga.
Yeah, I mean, he went through a lot, and, yeah, he was out for basically 2 years, so that's pretty rough.
Yeah, shout-out Santi Cazorla, even though his team battled back to draw with Atletico over the weekend, as we'll talk about. Shout out Santi Cazorla for everything that he's been through to come back like he has. It takes a lot of strength to do that.
Yeah, and one of the best players in La Liga history to not play for one of the big three clubs.
That's true.
So, yeah, he was very good before when he was in La Liga, and he's still pretty good now.
He is indeed. Well, La Liga on the whole is pretty good right now, Rob.
Very much so.
What a weekend.
Than I ever thought it would be.
What a weekend. Oh, my God. Where shall we begin?
Things are happening.
Yeah, the La Liga has done a madness, as the cool kids say.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. Really, really weird things are happening.
On Friday, Celta Vigo 0, Deportivo Alaves 1. Alaves winning again. They topped the table Friday night with that win at Celta. Celta, by the way, have not won since they beat Atletico. I know, you're shocked.
Yeah, when have we seen this before?
They are down to 15th in the table. On Saturday, at the Santiago Bernabeu, Real Madrid Ooh. won Levante 2. Wow, the hits just keep on coming. Levante, their third straight win. Real Madrid, their fourth loss in the last five in all competition. But at least they scored a goal this week.
I mean, in any stuff. Season, Real Madrid losing at home to Levante is really, really weird.
Yeah. But this one...
This has been even weirder.
This one especially more so, because things are just so squirrely right now in La Liga. Levante pretty much ran riot in the first 15 minutes and then did nothing else. And they got a little lucky. Madrid hit the post, I think, four times. And, yeah, that's how you do it. That's how you get out of the Bernabeu with a win.
Yeah, and some fortuitous VAR. You know, you never know with the gods of VAR. I mean, having watched it in the World Cup and a couple other leagues, it's just kind of a toss-up, really.
Yeah.
So, good to see Levante getting the better side of it.
Valencia 1, Leganés 1. Valencia drawing yet again their seventh draw in nine games in La Liga this season. Jose Gaya scoring a late equalizer to prevent a Leganés win at Mestalla. Valencia, by the way, in five home games this season, five draws. It's pretty good.
Yeah, they have a lot of draws.
They do.
They have far too many draws.
They've been unlucky with their goal scoring. They've generated more chances to be, you know, they've scored seven goals. They've generated enough chances to be like an 11-12 goal team. But, you know, they are where they are on the table because they're just not putting the ball in the net. And, yeah, they're 14th right now. So Marcelino is under some pressure, and you got to think if things go wrong against Young Boys in the Champions League this week, you got to think that's going to turn up the heat even more.
Yeah, I mean, we saw this last time Valencia was in the Champions League. When they have both those competitions going at the same time, they can kind of struggle on both fronts. So we'll see how it goes. But with a lot of the smaller teams sort of overperforming a bit, they've been pushed down a little bit further than they probably should be.
The partidazo on Saturday night was Barcelona's 4-2 win over Sevilla. Lionel Messi injured during that match. He broke his arm. He'll be out for a few weeks. He is likely to miss El Clasico, but naturally, he is expected back when Barcelona face Atletico next month, because of course he is.
Yes. Yes, of course.
Like, literally, that is the game that is targeted as his return date, so that's just wonderful.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Sunday, some of those smaller teams you mentioned, Rob. Rayo 1, Getafe 2. Rayo, down to 19th in the table. They are winless in their last five. Not looking too good for them. They finished this match with 10 men. Eibar 1, Athletic 1. Arguably La Liga's worst team this season, Athletic. You can say Huesca, you can also say Athletic. Based on their talent, Athletic have been one of the worst teams in the league. They drew at Ipurua, so I guess one point is better than none, but they are still in 17th. Huesca 0, Espanyol 2, Borja Iglesias with a double. And Rob, I gotta say, based on some of the expected goal numbers, Espanyol are for real. I gotta say,
well,
it's scary.
I mean, it's been a while. I mean, Espanyol have been kind of hovering around that sort of top six. The last couple seasons, they've gone up and down and been a little bit inconsistent, but they're pretty darn good. And they're taking advantage, like Alaves, they're taking advantage of the bigger teams slipping up. So let's see if they can hang in there.
They are up to second in the table behind their city rivals, Barcelona. They've scored 13 goals. Expected goals per understat has them at 12.5. They've conceded 7. Understat has them at about 8. And their expected points, 16. And their real-life points, 17. It's sustainable what they're doing. And that I had them tipped to go down. So hats off to Ruby and all his players. They have proven me wrong to this point. The last game on Sunday, Real Betis shut out again. They lose at home to Valladolid by a 1-0. Valladolid currently in 6th, 1 point behind Atletico. And the last game of the round on Monday night was a total bore. Real Sociedad and Girona playing out a goalless draw.
Thrilling. Yes, well, Ronaldo Nazario is, you know, really lifted up.
I mean, so, that's their fourth win on the trot. They're unbeaten in their last five. Again, when you talk about these smaller teams kind of making moves, they have the second best defense in the division behind Atleti.
I mean, they can't believe their luck.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, if they can just keep picking up points, they could be safe by Christmas if they're this good. But I don't think they really are.
I think they already might be. I mean, Huesca are bad. Huesca are going to go down. Rayo, I think they might make a run in the second half of the season, but it's looking kind of tricky for them so far. And Leganés and Athletic have both been pretty bad. Leganés are getting better, but Athletic have been really bad. I'm actually pretty worried about what's going on there.
You'd think they are too good to go down, but you never know. I mean, they've really fumbled their coaching situation recently. They waited too long to fire Cucos again to last season, and now they're still just kind of waffling around.
I mean, Berizzo's a good coach. That's what the weird thing about this is. He's a good coach, but they don't have a center
forward. And they have good players.
They don't have a center forward other than Adoriz, and he's old. Their defense isn't good anymore, and yeah, they have issues. They
spent a lot of money on Inigo Martinez, and he's not doing a whole lot.
Yes, they did.
He's hanging around.
If you're a Lareal fan, that's kind of karma.
Yes, a little bit. But I mean, there is only a certain amount of players that Athletic can spend money on, so that's why they spend a lot of money on Raul Garcia when he's going into his 30s.
Yeah, shout out Rulo. Still love him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, have to. But, you know, they have a limited player pool.
Let's head back to Saturday. Let's circle on back to La Cerámica, where it finished Villarreal 1, Atletico Madrid 1. Just another year at La Cerámica. You know,
Yeah. These
things happen. It's now 4 years in a row where Atletico have gone there and not won, but at least they didn't lose this time, right?
Yeah, exactly. At least they didn't lose.
They didn't lose.
They lost the last couple meetings.
Yeah.
And Villarreal have just been really solid the last few seasons, and they're good at home, especially against Atletico. So not great, but I was sort of worried about this game the whole time. They're a really talented team, and it was a tough test for Atletico, as we saw.
It usually is. Villarreal are very much a team that plays up or down to their opposition. It's been true the last few seasons. They always get up for the big teams, and they don't always show up when they play the smaller teams, like newly promoted teams and so on. They have kind of owned this fixture the last few years. They've gone to Atletico and played very well the last few years, too. This is just one of those matchups. It's a tough ground to go to. I mean, Villarreal still have not won at home this season. But it's still a tough ground to go to. Make no bones about it. Interesting game. I had issues with Simeone's team selection. I'm sure you probably saw the same things or similar things that I did.
Yes.
Yeah.
There are certainly things for us to talk about.
The four central midfielders. You and I discussed this a lot last year. I hoped we weren't going to talk about it this year, but we're going to have to. Simeone needs to stop playing four central midfielders. It's got to stop. Has to end.
Yeah, it never worked once last year, so I have no idea why it's made a return again this year with virtually the same players. Just subtract Gabby and put in Rodri.
Right. Yeah, the only time that, to my recollection, that it really worked last year was that win at Sevilla, the 5-2 win at Sevilla.
Where Atletico that was a bit flukish. That Sevilla team last year was very weird.
Yeah, that was a really weird game. It was a fun game, but really weird. No, but you got to stop this, Cholo. Like, seriously, Lemar, yeah. Correa, Vitolo, all on the bench. Gelson wasn't even chosen because I'm worried about Gelson's Atletico career now. We barely seen him in 2 months. It's a problem, but that's for another time. As can be expected, Atletico, in a system with four central midfielders, inhibited their ability to create chances. It inhibited their ability to thereby finish chances, because no one was on the ball. No one could make plays for anybody else. Basically, when you play this way, you need to rely on a moment of magic. You need to rely on a moment of genius. Someone like Griezmann is capable of those moments, but he's basically shoehorned into that role when Simeone sets up this way.
It was kind of stunning to me how the midfield managed to be ineffective at both defending and going forward. They couldn't get the ball to the strikers, and then on the break they looked like they had no idea where they were supposed to be going, and there were massive holes right in front of the back four, so... So it was like, okay, great. Absolutely nothing is working about this.
Okay, great. Yeah, the only thing that was working really was Rodri, and Rodri came off at halftime. Yeah,
Yeah, that's a big one.
That was cool. More on that in a minute. I don't know why Juan Fran started this game. Alfonso Pedraza absolutely ran him for 70-plus minutes. Just absolutely destroyed him, really. And Juan Fran still made it to 90 minutes. I don't know why Santiago Arias didn't start this game. Jose Jimenez got hurt again, as the club revealed today.
He'll do that.
Monday. So he has a nerve issue in his thigh. He'll be out Wednesday. But I'm not really sure why Diego Godin had to come on. I really don't know why. Especially for Felipe, who had scored and was playing quite well. Yeah, just I don't really get what Cholo was thinking with his team in this game. I don't really know what the plan was. Villarreal didn't have that much more possession than Atleti. I think it finished about 53% to Villarreal. Villarreal outshot Atletico 18-15. I don't really get what the plan was, especially after Rodri came off.
Yeah, I mean, I think the central defenders didn't look great, but I think, as I said before, that was a product of the midfield looking not very good. It seemed like nobody really knew what they were supposed to be doing, except for, as we say, Rodri, who always looks calm, just stroking the ball about. But I was very surprised it wasn't Koke that came off at halftime. I mean, I think needed to be a player taken off, but I would have gone for Koke first.
Yeah, I don't think Koke played that well. I don't think Saul played that well, but it's tough for Saul to play well when he's, you know, out on the wing. Koke wasn't amazing, I didn't think. Rodri completed 89% of his passes, so that's a bad day at the office for Rodri.
Yeah, and only 89%. I wouldn't use this game to like write off him and Tomas as a partnership. I just think they need something else alongside them, be that Correa or be that Lamar. I just think that would have added so much more to the attack that it just did not have at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think Rodri and Tomas together is a bit unnecessary.
Because, it's a little too defensive.
Yeah, and they're going to be asked to play similar roles. I mean, Tomas is a bit more versatile. Tomas can be used more as a counterattacking outlet because he moves the ball so quickly. But Rodri can also be used as that shield, as that distributor for slower build-up. It doesn't make sense to have both of them on. But that said, you can't take Rodri off. Ruben Martin tweeted this after the game. All five goals that Atleti have conceded in La Liga this season have come with Rodri off the pitch. That doesn't need a further explanation, but I'll give it anyway. Rodri needs to play every game, and he needs to play every minute of every game from here on out. I don't really quite know why he's not an automatic starter yet, because we've seen how good he is, and Simeone knows how good he is. It's very strange that Rodri is not trusted to be a 90-minute starter week in, week out yet. He doesn't have the clout that Koke and Saul have when he's playing better than both of those players.
Well, it's just very rare that he be a player that you would substitute off. I mean, his player profile isn't the one of someone that's going to get gassed and then become ineffective. I mean, he's pretty calm and even-keeled the whole match, so there's no real reason to take him off. And I think really at this point I'm getting to a stage where I don't really understand why we just have to persist with two strikers. I mean, Diego Costa isn't really in form and Nico Kalinic is new, so the team just isn't working with two strikers at the moment. So I wonder if there could be some change, but then knowing Cholo, there probably won't be.
Yeah, knowing Cholo, entering his seventh full season behind the bench, yeah, his spots aren't going to change. This leopard is not really going to change his spot, and that's fine. Atletico have been pretty successful in this era, I think you would agree. That being said, there is always more room for flexibility, and this was a game that kind of called for it rather than a really rigid system. I don't know, I just didn't get some of the decisions, and Tomas is a guy who the papers have said has been asking for playing time, has been kind of making a stink about it. Based on this game, he didn't really deserve his 90 minutes. I didn't think he was that good. Really unconvincing from Tomas. Not to say he should have come off, but someone like Koke or Saul should have come off, and Rodri should have stayed on. It's unnecessary to just have that kind of midfield. It really just, it slows everything down. It reduces your chances even further. The Simeone, the Cholismo doesn't allow for that many chances anyway, but you're further reducing the likelihood that you're going to score when you play like this without any real playmakers.
Yeah, and I understand Tomas wanting playtime. He needs it at this point in his career. But, I mean, if he keeps asking for playtime, he's going to find himself playing at right back sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Knowing that what that situation is like at the minute. But, yeah, it's a weird system. I mean, again, this is like we saw last year, and I don't even really think we ever figured it out to get to a system that really consistently works. We've just kind of been trying the same things over and over, just in a weird cycle, to see if we can find anything that gets this group of players to play well together.
I think
we played all the 4-4-2s, all of them,
every single one. Well, that kind of leads me into this point, or this question rather. How concerned are you with Atletico's goal output to this point in the season?
Very.
Okay.
I'd go for.
So, like, scale of 1 to 10, you'd say you're, like, a 9.
I'm probably about an 8 at this point. Okay. I mean, obviously, Antoine Griezmann is good, and I have confidence in Costa to score goals eventually. I just think when you look beyond those two guys, you're not looking at anyone that's really guaranteed to get you a ton of goals. I mean, Koke, as we know, rarely scores. Saul scores amazing goals, but not frequently. Lamar and Correa are kind of, we'll see. Maybe they'll score 10, maybe they'll score 5, who knows? And same with Vitolo. So, yeah, I'm a little bit concerned. I'm not sure that they really have the firepower at this point in time.
Yeah, so through 9 games this season in La Liga, Atleti have scored just 10 goals. That is obviously not quite good enough. I think you'd agree. And, yeah, the expected goals per understat, they're not saying Atletico have been unlucky here. Atletico is expecting goals 10.29. They've scored 10 this season. So that's about Atleti's real output. That being said, I'm not all that concerned. I'd say I'm like at about a 6 maybe. 5-6. We haven't seen a healthy Diego Costa since August. And I think that has just kind of screwed everything up. This system worked beautifully last year after Costa came back and he kind of became Griezmann's enabler. Costa, I contend he hasn't been healthy since the Valencia game in August, because ever since then he just went on a dry spell. He wasn't nearly as aggressive, which leads me to believe he got hurt at the end of August, early September, and he just kept fighting through it. It's a bit like what happens to Luis Suarez when he's like on a yellow card, or like when he's in danger of getting suspended. He loses that bite, no pun intended, but he loses that bite from his game. He loses that spark. Same deal with Costa. So if Atleti get a healthy Costa back, I think you'll see these numbers tick up a bit. We haven't seen that all season, though.
And that's what we're hoping. We're hoping that this little spell he's having being injured is good for him. And I think, and I would rather him be out now and come back healthy later. I mean, I think we've seen, even in the past, we've seen Harry Kane get kind of hurt and then try to play through it and then go through a long World Cup and he's still not totally back to being himself, and these things happen, so you kind of just want the guy to have rest, get it over with, and then not have to worry about it hanging around.
Yeah, and you also hope that Kalinic adjusts sooner rather than later. I mean, he was hauled off at halftime. I didn't think it was his fault, though. He had 10 touches. He didn't get any service because he had no one to get the ball from because Cholo went with 4 central midfielders.
Yeah, I thought he was fine, but, I mean, he had very few chances.
Yeah, he had 10 touches. It's just not nearly good enough.
Yeah, and he wasn't really used to playing with the team. It was pretty easy to see. So we're hoping for something from him, but, yeah, I think the main thing is getting a healthy Costa back. That is the key to all of our dreams.
Also, 2 more points. Interestingly enough, this is the second straight game in which Griezmann has failed to complete 60% of his passes. So that's really wretched.
I really felt like he didn't get much of the ball in that game. I mean, neither of the forwards did. Again, like you say, as a result of the midfield being a bit broken.
Yeah. Second point I wanted to make was obviously not a great one because I don't remember what it was. So let's move on.
It was something about the match.
Well, okay, I'll say this then. La Liga is really topsy-turvy this year, as we discussed. I mean, Alaves and Espanyol are both in the top 4, and, you know, we're almost to Halloween. Like, La Liga is kind of squirrely this year. Who knows if it'll get back to what we've been used to seeing it revert to? It always seems to revert to, you know, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atletico in some order. We'll see if that's the case this season. as I think we've talked about this before, it still does look like it's going to be an 80 to 85 point league. If that's the case, Atleti very much have a chance to end the season as champions, but these are results you got to get. I know in La Liga right now, it seems like anyone can beat anyone, and big picture, that's great for the league. We haven't seen this much parity in many years. But by the same token, this was a game where Atletico really could have flashed their title credentials. You can't win La Liga on draws. Atletico now have as many draws as they do wins. Same thing we said last season when I think through their first 12 games, they had 6 wins and 6 draws. They got 4 wins and 4 draws in their first 9 with 1 loss. That's not going to win you La Liga. Even though they're 2 points off top, it's not going to win you the league.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we have to see more wins. And I think Atleti, to a certain degree, have been a little bit lucky by the start that the other teams have made to the season. A bit poor from Barcelona and Real Madrid has sort of allowed that ugly patch early in the season to be smoothed over a little bit. But they need to pick it up at some point. I think we've seen in years when it's sort of a low points total lead, then you kind of need to go on a little bit of a winning run to sort of build up that lead, and then you can hold on to it for the rest of the season. And at that point, right, you can have some draws and it doesn't kill you, but Atleti need to get to that point first. So if they could rattle off a fairly lengthy winning streak, then that could do wonders for any potential title challenge.
Looking a little further ahead, Atletico's next 3 league games are pretty winnable, I'd say. After the Dortmund game Wednesday, which we'll talk about, Atleti hosts Real Sociedad on Saturday. They have a Copa del Rey game in the middle of that and a trip to Leganés, which Atleti have never won at Leganés, but in theory, that's a winnable game. Then you have the return leg with Dortmund before hosting Athletic on November 10. Those are between La Real and Athletic at home plus Leganés away. Those are 3 very winnable games. Honestly, Atletico should take 9 points from 9. In those 3 games, and if you do that, you probably are going to top the league before the next international break. So we'll see where this goes. Last thing I want to discuss before we talk about Dortmund: Atletico's away form, usually pretty strong, not so strong this season. Just 1 win from 5. That win coming at Getafe, draws at Valencia, Real Madrid, Villarreal. The loss was at Celta. You concerned about this form at all?
Less so, I'd say, just sort of looking at the opponents that sure, they've drawn with away from home. You see Valencia, you see Real Madrid. That's not awful. The Celta game is the big one, but that game was bad in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, I don't think it was.
You could say that was entirely due to it being away from home. So I think we're fine at the moment. The away games they've had have been quite tough, which actually may end up being a good thing towards the end of the season, that they've got some of these trips to the Bernabeu, to the Ceramico over with already.
Yeah, I still contend that opening match day draw at Valencia, I still contend that was a good point when you consider Atleti had just flown back from Estonia, and you consider that, you know, Mestalla is historically a really tough place to go. I know Valencia haven't won there this season, but they've drawn the other 4 games in addition to Atletico. So no one else has been able to win there either, not even Valencia. So I still contend that is a good point. The Celta loss is the only one that really stings. I mean, yeah, Atleti weren't good enough Saturday at Villarreal. They would have lost if Jan Oblak didn't. Jan Oblak.
He was insane. We would be remiss to not mention how good.
Yeah,
we didn't
talk about Oblak. Oblak is incredible. He's the best keeper in Europe. If you don't think so, you're kidding yourself. The 3 chances he stopped from Gerard Moreno in the final half an hour, those 3 chances combined were worth 0.74 expected goals. In other words, from those 3 chances, Moreno had the same likelihood to score from them as he would have a penalty. So, yeah.
He's so good. I mean, it's unbelievable. And you could tell towards the end of the game, he was looking a little frazzled, like, all right, I'm getting a little tired of this.
And yeah, the one chance he didn't stop was Mario's goal, which was super weird because no one could clear a freaking low cross from Bacca. So the ball pings around. Mario hits this really weird side-footed deflected shot that goes in because that's just what happens to Atletico at Villarreal. But Oblak stopped everything else because he's magnificent.
Yeah, he's just so good.
Yeah,
he's just the best.
He's sensational. And again, I just go back to Gerard Moreno should have scored one of those 3 chances, and he couldn't. The one save Oblak made when he trapped the ball between his legs. That was incredible.
Yeah. I mean, he's just so big, and he's extremely agile. So he's absolutely, I think, at this point, contending to be the best goalkeeper in Europe. I mean, Davide has had a bad couple months here, and people like Ter Stegen and all that, but everyone knows who we think is the best.
Very last point, and then we have to talk about Dortmund. Felipe Luis scored the first headed goal of his career in this game.
Yeah.
Weird.
It was a really, really terrible goal.
And it was almost an own goal for Funes Mori, because he hit it off the crossbar and or off Asenjo's hand, and he had to parry it, and it just went right back to Felipe, and he just had a free header.
Funes Mori is a tragic boy. He's never been good.
They really, really missed Rodri. That's one of the questions I asked the guys at Villarreal USA before the game. And they were like, yeah, we really miss Rodri. Like, you can tell. Oh, yeah, Villarreal are still in 16th, by the way. Just 2 wins from their first 9. They have 1 win in their last 5 in La Liga. Their Europa League campaign is not the best start either. So, yeah, strange happening there.
15 through 17 have all been in the Europa League in the last couple of years. So that tells you how weird it is.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, 14 and 16 in La Liga are both European teams this year. Valencia and Villarreal. They're both in Europe, they're both struggling, so thinking face emoji.
Yes, exactly. Weird things are going on. It will change.
All right, Rob, let's move on to Wednesday, when Atletico travel to Germany and face the yellow wall of Borussia Dortmund. I'm excited for this one. I got to tell you, I'm excited for this game.
Yes, it's Atletico traveling to the football hipster paradise of Borussia Dortmund.
let's talk about Dortmund. They're really good.
Yes.
They are atop the Bundesliga.
They are.
They have not lost yet this season. 6 wins from 8 with 2 draws. They have a plus 19 goal difference in those 8 games. They beat the stuffing out of Stuttgart this weekend. They beat them 4-0 away. They are quite good.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of Bundesliga personally. I don't find it particularly interesting, but I did watch Dortmund this weekend. They're good, as you say. Marco Reus, he's always been good. He's just been broken a lot. Jadon Sancho, he's real good. That was a hell of a bargain they got him. So cheap, and then of course Christian Pulisic is also really good. So yeah, they're it's going to be a tough game.
All these amazing young players they have. Hakimi, also on loan from Real Madrid. He's really good for them. Marco Reus is still a thing. He's still really good. You mentioned Pulisic. Jadon Sancho as well. He's made only 2 starts, and yet he has 2 goals and 6 assists in the Bundesliga. Paco Alcacer is just a man reborn. 127 minutes, he scored 7 goals.
Yeah, I don't really know how that happened. He just kind of woke up from his coma.
Oh, and by the way, they still have Mario Götze around here somewhere, Rafael Guerrero around here somewhere, Julian Weigl around here somewhere. Like, I mean, my lord, look at all this talent they have.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. They fairly consistently have some very good players that everyone in the world seems to want to buy. That's just sort of what happens around there. But yeah, man, they have some good players. It's amazing that Mario Götze is just like around on their bench or whatever.
I mean, it's crazy. And Lucien Favre has kind of come in and did what Thomas Tuchel did his first season there after Jurgen Klopp left for Liverpool. He's just kind of brought everyone together, kind of injected some life back into this side, and yeah, they're reaping the benefits. They won their first two group games as well. They beat Club Brugge away. Yeah, Bruges. I'm always going to struggle with that. They beat Bruges away 1-0 with a Pulisic goal, and then they pounded Monaco, which was pretty much the swan song for Leonardo Jardim. And now they host Atletico. It's going to be fun. The atmosphere is going to be amazing. And it's going to be a real challenge for Atletico. This is, as we mentioned, a side with a lot of young, prized attacking talent. And it's going up against Oblak and this defense. It's contrast here.
I think it will have implications to what team is going to win this group in
Absolutely.
The end.
Absolutely.
Certainly these next 2 match days will decide who's going to top the group.
Yeah, it's very likely that...
It'd be nice to top it, but of course we see in the past you top the group, sometimes you can get a really good team that had just screwed up in the group stage.
Yeah, definitely true. Whoever gets more points from these two fixtures is going to win the group, more likely than not. But how do you see this one playing out? In Germany, at Dortmund, where they have not... they've been perfect at home this season between the Bundesliga and the Champions League. How do you see it playing out?
You get the feeling Simeone's going to want to keep it tight.
Really?
Especially... Yeah.
Simeone, keeping things tight.
A big revelation.
That's a take. That is a hot take.
Yeah. But Atleti have been a little bit better going forward in the Champions League than they have been in the league, I think. So I could see it playing out into kind of like a 1-1 draw sort of deal. I can't see Atleti really winning it handily by any means. If they win, it's going to be a little bit nail-biting, I'd imagine.
It's, yeah, keeping it tight is definitely at the top of the list here. But another reason, going back to my earlier point, why I'm not all terribly concerned about Atleti's attack is that their attack's been really good in Europe. 4 goals in the Super Cup, comeback win at Monaco where they scored twice, and then 3 goals against Club Brugge. I got it right that time. So that's 9 goals in 3 games. That's pretty solid. And Europe's just been a different story than La Liga so far. I do not quite expect that to continue at Dortmund. I think it's going to be tight. I can't say I see Atletico winning this game, but I don't really see them losing it either. I think 1-1 is probably a fair... It's probably going to be a fair result. I don't think Dortmund have seen a defense like this season. They haven't seen a goalkeeper like Oblak. It looks like it's going to be Godin and Lucas in the center of defense. Although Stefan Savic is fit, Jose Jimenez is not. So it looks like it'll be Godin and Lucas with Juan Fran and Felipe on either side of them.
I'm fine for that. I think Santiago Arias has to start playing at some point.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that he is alive.
Yeah, you wish he would have played against Villarreal. Or one of these two games you'd think he'd have to play, but who knows? I mean, it's Juan Fran in a big game. Cholo's kind of going to trust him by default. And it also does look like Costa will start this match.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. It would be good for him to open his account in Europe, I guess. I don't know. He needs a moment, I think, to really get him going. So
yeah, he's got those 3 goals in Europe this year. Europe has been kind of his savior so far.
And, yeah, all right. Well, he's...
You're right, though.
It's been frustrating.
Yeah, since the Super Cup, he hasn't really had that big game. He hasn't really had a signature performance since the Super Cup. And Atletico are going to need that, and it's going to make the entire attack click. It's going to get Griezmann back to his best. It's just going to make the sky bluer and, you know, the roses redder.
Yeah, exactly, and hope that we can come out of this weird packed La Liga struggle.
Yeah. 1-1 is fine. I think that's probably what's going to happen here. And I'm excited for this. This is a matchup that I wanted to see, and it's one that we're getting. It's going to be a challenge for both teams. And yeah, that is Wednesday at noon, my time, which is 3 o'clock Eastern and 9 o'clock back in Spain.
Whew. Yeah, it's an interesting couple weeks. It's I'm just glad that we have actual games to watch at last.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
I believe that is it. I think that's all.
Well, that was plenty. We are at about 36 minutes here, so we're going to sign off. That's Rob Walker. You can follow him on the Twitters at rwalk03. You can follow me, your host, Jeremy Barron, on Twitter at jbbarron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. You can also subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colt Gennaro Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. That includes Apple Podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and review. Become a Colt Gennaro Chat amigo at patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. From as little as $3 a month, you get access to our bonus pods. Let me repeat that. From as little as $3 a month, you get access to our bonus pods and a lot more. Patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. We'll be back later in the week to review Dortmund and Atletico. Until then, adios.